This is Susan DiGiulio for Green Under Pressure. This episode is brought to you by the U.S. Green Building Council Los Angeles chapter, which welcomes anyone from the beach to the Arizona border interested in improving their built environment and community who wants to learn, share, and lead green. Today, we're talking to Heather Joy Rosenberg, founder and president of the Building Resilience Network, which is affiliated with USGBCLA, our sponsor. She's also part of the team working on Los Angeles's own resiliency program under Mayor Eric Garcetti. When did we all first start talking about resilience?
People started using the word a bit more after Hurricane Katrina, and they saw that, wow, the government may not be there to support us, and look how big this disaster can be.
Resilience in this context means making our environment resistant to the disruptions and disasters we can expect due to climate change, natural and man-made disasters. To create the conditions for people to survive them, and most important, for individuals and communities to bounce back afterwards. And you want this to be not just insurance against what you hope never happens, but a system of measures that respond to the changing day-to-day conditions in our world, making our lives better and our communities stronger. When you start to look at the intersection of forces, needs, and stakeholders involved, it's pretty daunting. Building Resilience Network works with organizations all over the U.S. on developing resiliency strategies. How do you define resilience?
When we think about resilience in terms of people and communities, we're talking about surviving and thriving in the face of stressors and shocks. We're not just talking about big disasters, the big shocks that interrupt the system, whether that's earthquakes, fires, floods, hurricanes, terrorist attacks, fire and brimstone, but what are the stressors that make us vulnerable to those pieces? What are the underlying conditions from poverty, income inequality, unemployment, crumbling infrastructure, environmental pollution, mismanagement, and poor communication systems? All of those things make us more vulnerable to disasters over time. And our goal in addressing those underlying stressors is not just to make it through the disaster, but to improve quality of life, even in what we call blue sky days, days when there's no events and nothing happening.
So with so many possible issues and players, what's essential in a resiliency plan?
The first step is forming a team. Who's making decisions? What are the information flows? What is the organization good at? Who are your neighbors? Who are all the people who are your stakeholders, whatever kind of organization you are? So forming a team, understanding the situation. What are your vulnerabilities? What is the context that you're working in? What are the strengths that you have?
So what does a resilience plan for, say, a private company working within its community look like?
Well, it's interesting. We started this work thinking we were going to come up with a set of technical requirements for buildings and realized when we're thinking about resilience, we need to think beyond just the physical building, and that a better target for resilience operations is the organization. So we're thinking about the physical, social, and economic dimensions of a community. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of that. H-E-B Grocery Store is a major grocery chain in Texas and Louisiana and in the Gulf region. They've got stores around the region. They've got distribution trucks and routes and an industrial bakery with, you know, that makes 18 kinds of pastries every day and lots of employees.
And just a year before Harvey, they switched from having truck-mounted, roving emergency generators to a permanent underground natural gas microgrid system for emergency generators at all of their stores. This made them much less vulnerable to wind and rain.
And when Hurricane Harvey happened, they were able to turn on a dime and shift their focus. And suddenly, they were only making hot dog buns and bread in their bakery. They were able to understand where their transit or where their routes for their trucks and which were accessible and which stores could be opened and which couldn't and which employees could get to their store and who needed childcare. And if you could get two employees to a store, you could open it and get emergency supplies to people.
You worked on resilience planning with LA Metro. What was that like?
I learned more from those folks than I think they learned from me. If you're starting to talk about what are the effects of heat waves and how do we deal with heat in an urban environment, for example, and you have bus drivers in the room who are going to say, oh, wait a minute, you don't understand urban heat until you have to drive a bus where the air condition has gone out and it can't be pulled out of service. And it's not just the riders who are being impacted, but the health of the operators is really being impacted. And they're having to deal with, you know, other people who are having heat-related stress issues and drive all day long. Those that if we plan for those populations, if we bring not only plan for them but bring their voices to the table in the planning process, we can really be much more effective.
I'm Susan DiGiulio, and this has been Green Under Pressure, a Flatlands Avenue production. Please connect with us on Facebook or on Twitter at @green_pressure. This episode was brought to you by the Los Angeles chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council, who invites you to learn, share, and lead green with usgbc-la.org.